Okay.
Today being the 20th day of Ramadan, 1441 years after the Hijrah of the Holy Prophet, equivalent to 13th May, 2020 years after the era of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Our tafsir from Faculty of Engineering Mosque, Ahmadu Bello University Zaria, continues from Ayat 85 in Surat Qasas. Ustaz Abdul Mumin Yaqub will recite the Holy Quran while Professor Abdullah Lukina will conduct the tafsir, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna alladhi farada 'alayka al-Qur'ana laraddaka ila ma'ad. ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. ملك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ونعص الحق والحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى مآد. قل ربي أعلم بمن جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين. الحمد لله. The surah started relating to us biography of Moses and Fir'auna and how Fir'auna tried to destroy the people of Israel, and finally Karuna and what happened to him. And we have come to the last phase of the Quran. After the biography of Moses, and Allah took us through a lesson to be learned from their life history. And later on, Karuna, this wealthy man that refused to follow the ways of the Prophet, also Allah also took us through a lesson that is now taught by his own people to him. Finally, Allah is now facing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This particular verse was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was on Hijrah in a place called Juhufa, about 183 kilometers from Mecca. And Allah is telling him, Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'ana, the one that has made it incumbent on you, this Qur'an, laradduka ila ma'ad, will surely return you back to the promised place. Inna warabbi alam biman ja'a bil-hudi wa man huwa fi dhalalin mubin. Say that my Lord knows best who came with guidance from him and who is clearly deviated from the path of Allah. Here, this verse is opening the last section of this chapter of the Quran and also introducing the next chapter of the Quran. The Muslims, they were in Mecca. When they were in Mecca, they were having it very difficult. Some of them were being killed. Some of them were being punished, like Bilal. Some of them were so maltreated that they had no choice and they had no protection. They had to seek the Prophet intervention. One day they met the Prophet sitting down by Kaaba and they were complaining. The Prophet got up, sat down, and in a very state of seriousness, and he said, "What is wrong with you people? There were people before you that suffered much more than this. What have you suffered? By the grace of Allah, the affair of this religion will get completed. And to such an extent that from Sana'a to anywhere you want to go, as far as Sana'a from Makkah, a woman can be on the road alone without fear of anybody attacking her, except maybe a wolf that one would be afraid on his animal. Later on, when the punishment became unbearable, the Prophet ﷺ asked them to go to Ethiopia. He said, there you'll find a king in whose land nobody can be oppressed. How did the Prophet came to know about Ethiopia at that time, in that geographical location, and that the habit of the king is such that one cannot be oppressed in his land? This itself is a miracle. And he sent the Sahabats to Ethiopia. Even when they got to Ethiopia, some of the Sahabats, like Ummu Habiba, was tried again. The husband became a Christian. And the Prophet, he had, and he sent to the king of Ethiopia, the Negus, that he should marry to him Ummu Habiba. So he married Ummu Habiba, and they continued. Those of them that had protection in Mecca, that had guidance in Mecca, because of their big clan, continued to stay in Mecca until finally the Meccans became disgusted with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they went ahead and put a ban on the people of Hashim, Banu Hashim, particularly the area where the Prophet lived. There was sanction. They could not be sold food. They could not be allowed to marry from other quarters. They could not be allowed to have even any dealings. It was like that. And this had a toll on people like Sayyidah Khadija and Abu Talib. It affected their health. And finally, it was one of the cause of the reasons that they died. By the time the ban was annulled, people like Mut'im were those that stood up, and the other four, that this has to be annulled. It is not proper that our brother cannot eat. It went to an extent that they were eating leaves of the tree. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the annulment, the wife, he died, she died. Abu Talib, he died. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now had no protection whatsoever in Mecca. He will go to the mosque. By the time he's coming back, some people will take intestine of slaughtered animal and throw it on him, face to face. When Abu Talib was alive, they couldn't do it because he was his protector, and clannish protection is not taken lightly in Mecca. Sometimes, some after they have finished preparing their animal, they will take all the dirt, all the feces in it, they will bring it to his court and throw it inside his house. One day he was coming from Kaaba, somebody met him on the road, took all the dirt of his house and threw it on him. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the time he arrived in the house, one of the daughters was cleaning it and was weeping, and the Prophet was touched. The Prophet now decided, let him go and look for protection somewhere else. He set out and he went to Taif. Taif, they are the custodian of the idol Allat. By the time the Prophet got to Taif, he went to the house of three big brothers that were the big people in the town. And he went to them and he said, I was brought up here and this was my fosterland. I came to seek assistance, that you assist me on this message that Allah has given me. My people has forsaken me. One of the brothers said, if Allah sent you as a prophet, I will go to Kaaba and bring the cloth down. You? The other one said, in all the places, all the people that are there, nobody to be sent but you, that you have nothing. Another one said, if it is true that you are a prophet, then you are too great for me to talk to. If you are not a prophet, then Elah is meaningless before me. They asked him to get out. The prophet left. Before he could think of who to seek for again in Taif, which is the biggest city after Makkah, close to Makkah, they sent children and their foolish people to follow the prophet, throwing stone at him and clapping over him. He was there alone with Zayd bin Thabit bin Haris. Zayd now protected the prophet, and he was the one that got injured. By the time he was getting out of the town of Taif, he saw a garden and sat down to rest in the garden. Two brothers that owned this particular garden saw the prophet, took pity on the prophet, and then they sent grape with their slave to go and give the prophet to eat. When the prophet took the grape and was about to eat it, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then the slave said, what did you say just now? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I've never heard anybody saying this word in this town. The prophet asked him, are you not from this town? He said, no, I'm a slave. I'm from Nineveh. He said, Nineveh, the town of my brother, Yunus bin Matta. Then this boy said, how do you come, you know about Yunus, and you are even saying he's your brother? Even we from Nineveh, we just say about his history. He said, yes, he's my brother, he's a prophet. I'm also a prophet. Immediately, this boy heard it. He bent down and was kissing the leg of the prophet. You are a prophet. You are a prophet. His name is Adas. Then the owners of this slave called him. Live there. We ask you to just go and give him grape. We have been told anybody that come close to him is bewitched. Leave him. Then the prophet, after leaving that place, he stood. He said, oh Allah, unto whom will you allow to assist me in this my message? Unto strangers that don't know me, or unto relatives that don't treat me like a relative? If all this is not because you are not with me, oh Allah, I'm okay with it. I seek refuge with the countenance, with the light of your countenance, that the whole darkness become lightened, and the world and the hereafter become okay, that your annoyance should never befall me. Walakat ulba hatta tarda. O Allah, to you is the end until you are pleased. But I don't have energy. I don't have any power except with you. La quwwata illa bik. After he said this, before he got to the next valley, Allah sent to him jinn. Wa sarafna ilayka nafaran min al-jinn yastami'una al-Qur'ana falamma hadaru qalu ansitu falamma qudiya wallahu ila qawmi muzirin. Qalu ya qawmana inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi yahdi ila al-haqq wa ila tariqin mustaqim. Remember, when we sent this jinn to you, they heard the message of the prophet. The prophet was a bit happy. After this, he was going to come back to enter the same Makkah. How is he going to enter Makkah? He has no protection again. So he stayed at the field of Hira, where he first got his message. He sent some people to give him cover to enter Makkah. Nobody was willing. Only Mut'im, the head of the clan, of one of the clans, agreed to give him a cover. The following day, they came to meet him where he was with his children in arm, and they took the prophet back to Makkah. Immediately, people of Makkah saw them and said, you people have become Muslims too. Said, no, we are giving him protection. And they said, tell him, you should not recite this thing again in front of the Kaaba. You should not do this. They said all those things to him. Then they were now planning, what can they do to get rid of this prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They now agreed they will get each of their clan to produce one person, and they will all go, and all of them will hit the prophet at once and kill him at once. That way it will not be possible for anybody to demand that one clan has killed him. They will only demand for ransom, and whatever ransom it is, they are willing to pay it. They were doing this plan, and the prophet too was planning. The prophet had already had inclination that Allah will ask him to make hijrah after he had come back. Then Allah took him. It was Israel. After Israel, then he planned for his hijrah now. He told Sayyidina Bakr, who too had left Makkah, going towards Jeddah, because he too had lost his protection after all this. And it was Ibn Dugunna that returned him back. He was now under the protection of Ibn Dugunna. The two of them now planned that Allah has asked me to make hijrah. How do I do it? He was planning to do it secretly. All this, Allah is teaching us something. The Prophet is an example for the most powerful, an example for the weakest of people. Sayyidina Umar, when he was going for hijrah, he did not hide. He came out to Kaaba and announced, "You people, you stop people from going for hijrah. Know that I'm going for hijrah." Because after the Prophet came from Taif, the following year was when there was the covenant of Aqaba, that the people of Medina came. And after a year, another one from that, there was now plenty of Muslims in Medina that cared so much for the Prophet. And their love for the Prophet knew no bound, to the extent that immediately a person made hijrah to them, what they will first of all do is that, "Come, you came on hijrah, yes, from the Prophet, yes, this is my wealth. Take," they would divide it into two, "take half, I take half." They go to the extent, "I have three wives or four wives, I have five wives. Choose the one you like among them." You will choose. They will divorce her, you marry her. Their love for the Prophet and those that made hijrah was so strong that Allah has to use that love to pull the Prophet to Medina. Sayyidina Umar went to Kaaba. He said, "Umar is going on hijrah. I am not the one to hide when I'm doing anything. Whoever wants his children to be orphans, or want his wife to be widowed, or want his children not to come back to him, outskirts of Makkah, let him meet me there. I'm with my knife, I'm with my arrow, I'm with my spear, let him meet me there." He left. But in the case of the Prophet, he planned like any one of us will plan, to show you that do your things according to your level. After he planned, the night he was going to leave, Sayyidina Abu Bakr has already gotten, there are two camels, they have instructed that it should be taken to the cave where it will be until they set out and go to the cave. He took a route, not the route that is known. And in the night, that was the same night they planned to kill the Prophet, all the clans together, to pounce on the Prophet, except the clan of Banu Hashim. The Prophet ﷺ told Sayyidi Ali, "Sayyidi Ali, these are the things kept in trust with me. Return them back to the owners. Sleep on my bed. Use my cover to cover yourself. Nothing will happen to you." In the night, the Prophet came out, met those people outside. He was reciting Yasin, Wal Quran Hakim, Inna Kalamin al Mursaleen, Ala Sarati Mustaqim, تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما انذر اباهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على اكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون انا جعلنا في اناقهم اغلالا فهي الى الاذقان فهم مكمهون وجعلنا من بين ايديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فاخشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون شاهت الوجوه شاهت الوجوه شاهت الوجوه. They could not see the Prophet. He took sand and put it on top of their head and he left. After the Prophet left with Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they looked for them, they couldn't see them. They have taken a different route. And one of the first towns that he will come to is Jehovah. By the time he came to this town, the Prophet's mind was in Makkah. He said, "Oh Allah, you sent me out of the land that I love most. Please send me to the land that you love most." So he proceeded. It was there that this verse was revealed. Inna allazi farada alayka al-Qur'ana laradduka ila ma'ad. The one that made Quran incumbent on you, that you should walk with it, he is going to return you to the promised place. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an al-tashqi. That you are going to walk with everything in the Quran, no matter the difficulty you met, is not to make you miserable. Allah will return you in dignity back to where he had left. And Allah took him to Medina. Medina is a place that Allah loves so much that he will allow his prophet even to be buried there. That's why you find the saintly servants of Allah, they like Medina. They always want to go to Medina. Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz, towards the end of his life, when it was time for Hajj, he had a ticket to go to Hajj. But he was weak. He was sick. People went to him. He said, you don't have to go to Hajj. You have every reason not to go. Look at your old age. Look at your sickness. He himself, he recorded it. يَقُولُونَ لَا تَخْرُجْ بِسُقْمٍ وَمَخَرَمٍ فَأَزْرُكَ مِنْ شَمْسِ الزَّهِيرَةِ أَوْدَهُ. They say, don't go out because of your sickness and your old age. Your excuse is clearer than the sun at the midday. But he said he cannot. So the cure of my sickness is by standing in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He left. By the time he came to Medina, he became almost in a fainting position. He said, I tried to say bye to the Prophet. I couldn't. It was just tears coming out of me. Then he said, Inna allazi radda al-kalimu li ummihi sarji'uni lil munhamina fa afrahu. Oh Allah, the one that returned Moses back to the mother, I pray that you surely will return me back to Munhamina. That's the name of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then I will be prosperous. See, the beginning of this surah told us of the impossible. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم وارثين. We wanted that these people that are now slaves on the earth, we raise them up and make them now the leaders. This looked an impossible task. Allah now told the mother of Moses, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْكِهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَخْزَنِي إِنِّي رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ رَادُوهُ إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَدَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُوهَ. If you fear over this boy of yours, and you can't breastfeed him because you are afraid, he said, just take him and put him in the river. I'll return him back to you. Allah showed the Prophet ﷺ that Moses was returned back to the mother. When he also left Egypt to Madiana, Allah showed him that Moses was returned back to Madiana. Allah that did that surely will return you back to where you left. And again, to all of us, is another message. Art is not our home far. Art is just an examination hall that we are brought in to be tested, examined, and see, do we qualify to go back to our home, or we don't qualify to go back to our home. Originally, we are in paradise. Iskun anta wazawjuka al-jannata wa kula minha ragadan haythu shi'tuma wa la taqrabaa hadha ash-shajarata fatakuna min az-zalimin. We are in paradise, in the back of our forefather Adam, and he was asked to stay there, but Satan took him away. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا شَيْطَانَ أَنْهَا فَأَخَرَجَهُمَا إِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا إِهِبِتُوا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. We are now sent to the earth to be tested to see who qualifies to go back to paradise. So we are not staying here permanently. If we take this Quran and take it that it is the load on us, we have to act with what it says and live what it asks us to live, it will purify us from all that evil that touched us through Satan, and we'll be able to go back to paradise in dignity. That's what this ayat is saying here. The Prophet will return back to Mecca one day in dignity. Inshallah, the mu'min and those that are with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of them will return back to paradise one day. Kul Rabbi a'lamu man ja'a bil huda. Allah knows best who has come with guidance and who waman huwa fi dalalin mubin, and who has deviated from the path of Allah. You see humility in speech. Allah knows all this. May Allah make us to be in the company of the Prophet that return back to paradise.
وما كنت ترجو أن يلقى إليك الكتاب إلا رحمة من ربك فلا تكونن ظهيرا للكافرين.
وما كنت ترجو أن يلقى إليك الكتاب إلا رحمة من ربك فلا تكونن ظهيرا للكافرين. الله تبارك وتعالى استنى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كنت ترجو أن يلقى إليك الكتاب إلا رحمة من ربك. O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are never longing, you are never in any hope that one day Allah will send a book to you, but out of his concern and compassion for you, that you wanted to guide the whole humankind, he sent this book to you. وَلَا تَكُنَّنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَيْفِرِينَ. O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't ever be in support at any time on those that deny the message of Allah. So Allah is telling him, just like you never expected in the first instance that Allah will send Quran to you, because when the Prophet went to the cave of Hira at the first time, he was in the cave, he was disturbed that he's in a city where people will give birth to beautiful girls. When the girls are at the age of 2 or 3, they will be taken to the forest or to the desert and they will be buried alive, because it's a shame that they have not had male children while they having daughters. Then people were oppressed. If you are a slave, you are treated like an animal is better than you. All this he saw that they were wrong. He was bothered, how would he change all this? He went to the cave and Allah gave him the book. Just like you never expected it, Allah will take you back to Makkah. Allah will take you back to paradise. Don't ever be in support of those who deny the message and are against the message of Allah and the Prophet.
وَلَا يَصُدُّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنْزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ وَادْعُ إِلَى رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ.
ولا يصدنك عن آيات الله بعد إذ أنزلت إليك وادع إلى ربك ولا تكونن من المشركين. Allah تبارك وتعالى is not telling the Prophet something that you can clearly see is not the Prophet is talking to. ولا يصدنك عن آيات الله بعد إذ أنزلت إليك. O Prophet, let not anything obstruct you from the verses of this Quran, from the message of this Quran, Bada is unzilat ilayk, after it has been bestowed on you. Wala takunnan wadu ila rabbik, call to the path of Allah, call people to the path of Allah. Wala takunnan minal mushrikeen, don't be among those that associate partners with Allah, don't be inside them. Here, there are times you want to talk to somebody and you'll use somebody else to talk to him. For example, you are in a house, you have a house boy. This house boy is doing some things that are wrong, and you want to talk to him in a humble way. Maybe he will eat, he will pour food on the ground, and he will not clean it and go away. And it's a house boy. Then in his presence, you call your own son that is well-cultured, well-mannered, and said, you, my son, don't ever you try to eat and allow it to be on the ground and you don't clean the ground. If not, I will deal with you. Mm-hmm. By the time you say this, your husband that hears it knows that if you will face your son and tell him that, then he's of less consequence. Like the first Muslim, he will say that if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, was to steal, or cut off her hand. Everybody knew that nobody has ever been given birth to that has in out of the women that has the greatest characters like Sayyidah Fatima. Read about her history. If the Prophet will say this about her, it means that who are you then after that, that your hand cannot be cut? That's why Allah is telling the Prophet Islam here, Wala is yasudunaka an ayati Allahi ba'da iz unzilat ilayk. It is to us that we have been taught. The Quran has been bestowed on us. It's a gift that has been given to us. Nothing should obstruct us from obeying the commandments of the Quran. We should not allow anybody to come and tell us that it is not going with time and people want to be like the West. Let them go and be like the West. Let us use the Quran, obey the Quran, the commandments. And we should try to avoid being seen and all the time being with those that associate other things with Allah. Because what the kufir natan, la tusibanna allazina zalamu minkum khasa. Allah said, fear, affliction, fear, dangers that will come down on the people, that when it comes down on them, it's not only those that did bad that it comes down on. If you are always going out, staying with people that are evil, when evil befalls them and you are inside them, it will also touch you. وَلَا تَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't be among the community of the mushrik.
وَلَا تَدَعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ له الحكم وإليه ترجعون
ولا تدعوا مع الله إلها آخر لا إله إلا هو كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه له الحكم وإليه ترجعون Allah has come back again with the issue of his oneness ولا تدعوا مع الله إلها آخر Don't call unto any other along with Allah. La ilaha illahu, for there is none to be called unto except him, Allah. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajhahu. Whatever it is, if it's called anything, it will perish except the countenance of Allah that will never perish. Lahul hukmu, judgment belongs to Allah alone. Wa ilayhi turja'un, is to him that is your final return. So the Quran finally is closing the chapter of this surah, this great chapter that has talked to the Prophet and has assured the Prophet on his migration that he's going to return back to Mecca. And we saw that truly the Prophet returned back to Mecca in dignity. And he's also telling us now that the Prophet that everybody is going to return back to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let us work with the Quran, learn the lessons in it. Where the Quran says do, we do. Where it says stop, we stop. All the explanations the Prophet has made, the Sahabas have made, let's take them seriously. And whatever we learn from it, let us work with it. May Allah bless us with the Quran, bless us with this chapter. Bless us with the Prophet mentioned in this chapter. Bless us with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make us to be among his community in this world and in the hereafter.
Surah Al-Ankabut Makkiyah wa hiya 69 ayah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Mim Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun
Surah Al-Ankabut Makkiyatun wa hiya 69 ayatan Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Alif Lam Mim أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. الله تبارك وتعالى has started another chapter. All verses of the Quran, they are continuous. All chapters, they are continuous. This particular surah is called Surah of the Spider. There are about six surahs in the Quran that Allah named after animals. You have the Surah Al-Baqarah, you have Surah, that is Surah of the Cow, you have Surah Al-An'am, Surah of the Cattle, you have the Surah of Nahal, Surah of the Bee, then we just passed Surah Al-Naml, the Surah of the Ant, which is the fifth one. Then you have Surah Al-Fil, the Surah of the Elephant. All these are named after these animals because of the attention Allah was taught to draw, that we should take attention on everything we see. These animals, some of them are close to us. Particularly, the spider is always in our houses. We clean cobwebs all the time. Let us look at it. What do we learn from it? And Allah is going to use it to talk to us. The whole of this surah is telling us and training us to know that you have to struggle. If you come to a university and you are learning, you know that finally you have to take an exam. Then from beginning of the time you came in, you have to struggle. When they are teaching you, pay attention. What are the lessons to learn? Pay attention. What can you derive from it? Pay attention. Can you interpolate or extrapolate? Pay attention. Sometimes the question that will face you in an examination hall may not be direct. Some will be direct. Some you need to think very well from what you are taught to answer. But any question that you see in an exam, what you have been taught has already covered it. Nobody will give you a question that was not covered in the syllabus. How do we struggle? Do we just go into the examination hall? When we see a question, it looks difficult, we just turn away and leave? No, we sit down, put our attention to it. This surah is teaching us to struggle, to know that we are going to be tested, and we cannot pass by taking it that it's a lazy matter. This world is not just for pomp and pageantry. It's not just for eating, wallowing in enjoyment like some people think. Enjoyment is put there for us to use in rest, but we have work to do. It's like when you are given work by a big company, then they will give you lunch. The lunch may be very beautiful, may be very, what do you call it? The food may be so captivating that when you go to eat it, you like it. But you don't stay there and continue to eat and forget your work. You have to go back to work. This surah, like one of the other surahs, starts with these alphabets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif, Lam, Mim. We said just now that the verses of the Quran are continuous. Whenever you look at any verse, the ending letter has a vowel in it. The vowel is not a season vowel. Season vowel, sukun, means you have to stop. But it has a vowel either A or E or U, which means you can join it to the next verse and pronounce that last letter. Like the last verse we read in Surah Al-Qasas, Lahul Hukmu wa ilayhi turja'una. But because we decided to stop, we are the one that decided to stop, we said wa ilayhi turja'un. But the reciters of the Quran will tell you that it is permissible for you to say, wa ilayhi turja'una bismillahir rahmanir rahim alif lam mim. You can do that. But when it comes to alif, there is sukun on it. You are supposed to stop. Lam, you are supposed to stop. Mim, you are supposed to stop. This also tells us that you cannot just sit down and say you are learning Quran by yourself. Alif Lam Mim is also written like Alam Nashirah Laka Sadrak. Alam, that first Alam, the way it's written is the same way that this Alif Lam Mim is written. How can you differentiate between Alif Lam Mim and Alam you have to take Quran from somebody who has learned Quran, from somebody who has learned Quran, up to the people like Ubayy bin Ka'ab, up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't just sit down and say, I will teach myself Quran. Then these letters, do they have meaning? Or they don't have meaning? Of course, Allah cannot put anything that has no meaning. Whatever Allah does, Allah is his, every of his thing is serious matter. But what is their meaning? Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Osman, all of them, and Abdullah bin Masud, they said, Allahu a'lam bi muradihi bi zalik. Only Allah knows the meaning of these letters. Alif, Lam, Mim. They are contained in the Quran. Sirrun hasinun qat'un kalamuhu. This word I said, combine all the letters. Sirrun hasinun qat'un kalamuhu. This letter, only Allah knows the meaning. But some other Sahaba said, no, they have meaning. When you say Alif, it's indicating the name of Allah. For example, Alif, Allahu. Lam, Latifu. Mim, Majidu. Alif is indicating Allah. Lam is indicating Latif, that is the clement, the kind. Mim is indicating Majid, the magnificent, the great. Other Sahaba said, no, it's indicating the attributes of Allah. Alif, ibtila'uhu, his testing of people. Lam, lutfuhu, his clemency as he shows on people. Mim, majidhi, his greatness, his magnificence as you see it. Ibn Abbas said, no, it has meaning. Anyone you see, alif, lam, mim, alif, lam, re, alif, lam, mim, sod, alif, lam, mim, re, kaf, he, ayin, sod, he, ayin, sin, kof, sod, noon, kof, all this, he said, their meaning is this. Each of them are the names of Allah, the great greatest names of Allah. Ismullah al-Azami. Alif, lam, mim is Ismullah al-Azami. He, mim is Ismullah al-Azami. Tawsin is Ismullah al-Azami. Tawsin Mim is Ismullah al-Azami. So if you find somebody saying, Ya Alif Lam Mim, it's because of he's taking that understanding. Ya Yasin, Ya Tawsin, Ya Himim. These names are names of Allah directly. Why I'm bringing this is that this is how Muslims are. Allah has permitted people to think of the Quran and give meaning, as long as those meaning are not derogatory to the Quran itself. You cannot say that because Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that, you don't believe in what Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas said, or you don't believe what the other people said. The one you can take it. If you take all of them, like Ibn Al-Hafiz Ibn Kasir said, it's okay. So some of the sheikhs take it that these are Ismullah al-Azam and they use it in begging Allah. Just like Amin is taken as the name of Allah. So, Alif, Lam, Mim, Hasiban Nasu, Aintraku. This surah has 69 verses. And Alif, Allah, Lam, Latif, Mim, Majid, Ya Allah, Ya Latif, Ya Majid. Allah is now saying, Ahasiban Nasu, do man reckon, An Yutraku, that he will be left alone, An Yakulu, because they say, Amanna, we believe, Wahum La Yuftanun, and they will not be tested? If you say something from your mouth, Allah will have to make sure that the people surrounding you will prove that what you said is like that. If you say you will do something, Allah will show people, could you do it or can't you do it? Just because you enter Islam, you said, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, I'm a mu'min, Allah will leave you. No. And you traku, he will not leave them until he test them. This particular verse was coming again in Mecca when Sahabats were undergoing serious tribulations and trials. Bilal, big stone was being put on him in the hot sun of the day that he could not bear it again. Yasir, his father and mother, were being tried. The leg of the lady would be torn apart until she dies because she professed the faith of Islam. People would be sent out of their home because they profess the religion of Islam. All this, Allah is telling them that they have been tested to know their faith. And the test, why is it normally done? Ulama, they said, test is like fire on the gold. When you get raw gold, you have to put it inside the fire. You are not destroying the gold, you are making it cleaner and purer. Allah will normally allow you to be tested so that everything that is not Allah goes away from you and you know that you have none but Allah. Because the human nature, you like your father, you like your mother, you like your brothers, you like your friend, you like your hometown, you like your tribe, all this, you love them. You will even stand up to fight for your brother, to fight for your tribe. But when Allah starts, they are the ones that Allah will start, they will start hating you. Why they hate you, they themselves, they don't know. When your brothers hate you, you will abandon them. They get away from you. Your tribe hates you, they get away from you. At a point in time will come, you know there is none but Allah. When that happens, then you have reached that stage. Allah will now increase your status. Then those who that left you, they will start coming back to you one by one, one by one. As Allah is saying, telling us now, حَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Does mankind think that they will just say, we believe, and they are left alone like that? Allah has to show the world, is it true or not?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
حَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا فَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. This testing that we put people of Allah to test, you are not the first. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those before them, that's how we tested them. وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah will now make people to know who among them was telling the truth. And who among them was telling lies. And the Prophet said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ ابْتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Any test you think you are going through, people that are tested with the strongest of tests, with the most difficult of tests, are the messengers of Allah. Then the likeness of anybody close to them, the likeness of the test they get. Look, whatever test that befalls you today, whoever you are, take any of the prophet and see whether you are not tested with it. Among the creations of Allah, he himself, he chose the prophets. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had no son that outlived him. All his sons died in front of him. Look at the wife, Sayyida Aisha, that loved the Prophet so much, loved the message of the Prophet so much, she had no child. And she has never gone to the Prophet and said, "Oh Prophet, ask Allah for me to have a child." She knew she was under test of Allah and she accepted it. Allah said, there are those that before you that were tested. Hatta yaqula ar-rasul wal ladina amanu ma'ahu mata nasrullah. To the extent that a prophet will say, oh Allah, when are we going to get a relief when the tests become difficult? Rasulullah said one day, he said, among those before you, there are some that will be taken to the desert. A hole will be dug. Because of their faith in God, they will put inside this hole and a metal saw will be brought and they will be told, denounce your religion. They will refuse to denounce it. They will put the saw on their head and cut it into two, and they will not denounce the religion as they are being cut. All this has happened. وَلَكَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. By the time you are tested, you yourself will know your level. You will not just stand up one day and say, I'm better than this person. There are some of these sheikhs that have lost over 30 children in their lifetime. They never pointed to a person that this witch is the one responsible. This wizard is the one responsible. But you find somebody that just his child is sick for none has died. He's calling witches. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُ. Don't call anybody along with Allah. Whatever you see, call Allah. If you call such a person, what can he do? Don't call him. Go back to Allah and call Allah. حَزْمَنَ اللَّهُ وَنِمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Even if somebody was to brandish knife in front of you, call Allah. Only Allah can save you. Allah is going to test all of us. That's why when you come to the world, you are given a childhood period to be brought up. Nothing is written on you of your bad work, except your good work. By the time you get matured, before Allah start writing this on you, then you will now start getting tests, various tests, from your wife, from your children, from your brothers, from your tribe, from your country people, when you go to trade, when you travel, like that. When you get to see that there is test being done to you, take your mind that where you are going is far away. Don't allow the test to draw you back. But if you are not truthful in your declaration that you have faith, Allah will show people that you are a liar.
أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ.
أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Or is it that حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, those that are doing bad work, evil work, and yes, bikuna, that they are going to escape us, nothing will happen to them, is that their assumption? Sa ama yahkumun, what an evil judgment they have. Huh? Allah said, wala ta'rifanahum fi lahnil qawl. Even if they hide it in their breast, Allah can bring it out, and by the way they speak, Allah will show people that these are the kind of people they are.
من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم.
من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم. من كان يرجو لقاء الله, whoever is desirous liqa Allah, of meeting with Allah, fa inna ajala Allah la'atin, the predetermined time, the predetermined time that you will meet with Allah is coming. Wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, Allah for sure is ever hearing and is ever knowledgeable of what is going on. Here always we should be hoping and wishing to meet with Allah. Even though our work we know is not good, Allah said, the Prophet said, Allah says, man ahabba liqa Allahi, man ahabba liqa Allaha, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever is it that wishes to meet with Allah, Allah also loves to meet with him. Whoever does not love to meet with Allah, Allah also does not love to meet with him. Because you have God that cares a lot for you. Out of his care for you, even when he was starting this surah, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most beneficent, most merciful. Always he's telling you, Huwa al-Ghafurur Rahim, he is the most forgiven, he is the one that is most merciful. Yet if he's testing you, and you know that Allah that has so much concern for you is also the one testing you, you know he cannot be doing it to make you to fail. Your strength should be there and be wishing to meet him. Because in the house, you have to test even your own children to know what they can cope with and what they cannot cope with. You don't just leave your children, even your own wife. If you have a wife in the house, as you are dealing with her, sometimes you are testing her. You know what to put in her trust. You know what not to put in her trust. You know what responsibility to give her to do. You know what responsibility not to give her to do. She also, as she's staying with you, if she's studying you, she is also testing you. With time, she knows, what is it that I can go and ask my husband and I will get it? What is it that if I ask my husband, I don't get it? What is it that if I tell my husband, he's happy? What is it that if I tell my husband, he's not happy? All this, we are supposed to learn it. Let us wish to meet with Allah. If we are going to meet with Allah, what are we going to carry to Allah that he will be happy with us? Even if we don't do it well, let us try our best. Because Allah does not look at our mistakes. Allah looks at the intentions we have and what we are trying to do. He will complete it for us. Man kana yarju liqa'a Allah fa inna ajala Allah la'atin wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Allah is forever hearing us and forever full of knowledge. Ya'lamu ma yulinuna ma yukhfuna ma yulinuna. Allah knows what you hide in your breast and what you do outside. Since Allah knows this, let us put ourselves in a position that what we are doing, Allah is looking at us. And it will be difficult for us to do evil. Even if we are not able to do the good, then we are going to do well. Okay. So may Allah forgive all of us as we enter this surah. May we enter it with Allah's concern for us, and as it is full of telling us the different tribulations that Allah will take us through, may Allah strengthen us to be able to face our tribulations in this world, and may we pass with glowing colors. The disease that is going about in the world now, may Allah take it away from us. May Allah bring it to an end. May Allah cure all of us from our internal disease also. May Allah strengthen Muslims and strengthen Islam. May Allah forgive all of us. May He forgive our parents. May Allah strengthen our leaders. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward our ulama. May He reward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. May He make us to have a good end in this world and hereafter. May He bless our family, bless our children, bless our cousins, bless our houses, bless our food. Jahil Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim, siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
Okay.